Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for almost 6 years we've been asking the franchisors one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. Over the years, Franchise Interviews has had some amazing quotes and advice from our guests. And today you're going to hear some of the best clips and advice suggested on our weekly radio show that made our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. This special two-hour show will have over 20 clips from people like the great Michael Gerber, entrepreneurship expert Dr. Scott Shane, some of the top franchise experts and attorneys in the country, and of course us. So sit back and enjoy. This show took many, many hours to create, so have a great time, and we'll see you again soon.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for almost 6 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. You know, over the years, Franchise Interviews has had some amazing quotes and advice from our guests, and today you're going to get to hear some of the best clips and advice suggested on our weekly radio show that made our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. So this special two-hour show is going to have over 20 clips from people like the great Michael Gerber, entrepreneurship expert Dr. Scott Shane, some of the top franchise experts and attorneys in the country, and of course us. So this show literally took a couple hundred hours to make, so enjoy this one. Thanks, everyone. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear Recruiting Franchising. My name is Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And over the last 6 years, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear a clip from David Ritterling of Visiting Angels. And we had David on our show quite a few years ago. And as many of you know, I usually go back and listen to the old shows and the new shows. And one of the questions that we frequently ask on the show is, what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? And David had a wonderful analogy, and it's very short, but definitely noteworthy of making the Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. So here we go. This is David Ritterling of Visiting Angels with Great Quotes in Franchising.
Really focused on behavioral aspects. And so you can learn an awful lot about a caregiver when you know the right questions to ask.
The bottom line is that really gets to the core of the business, being a service business. If you have top caregivers and people who are passionate themselves, that's just going to, you know, reflect on the clients and, you know, continue growth for the company.
Well, it really does. And I mean, we've got clients now that have been with us for 6 years of our existence. And we've also have caregivers that have been with us for 6 years of our existence. And that just speaks loudly to the relationships and to the fact that we just love our caregivers, we love our care recipients, and we let them know that. And I think that's one thing that there's not enough affirmation in the marketplace. And when we can affirm people around us, they want to be a part of that.
That's fantastic. What advice, David, would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? The majority of our listeners are aspiring entrepreneurs.
Well, I think, again, due diligence is really important. But I think it's great to understand what you're good at, what your passions are, and what drives you in a certain direction. Certainly, the profit motive is always there. But I see a lot more success with people that really believe in what they're doing. And the other part that I heard earlier I totally agree with is that when you buy a franchise, you really want to be able to get into the boat and row along with everyone else. You want to be able to stay in sync with the system. You want to be able to follow the instructions the franchisor tells you because they're proven.
Right.
And if you feel like you're a rogue operator, that you want to do things your way, you're going to sort of swim upstream a little bit. And I would really urge everyone that's looking to do this, just do what they tell you to do. You're going to be successful.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting franchise interviews now almost 6 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Carol Mercurio, and she talks about a subject that we talk frequently on the show, which is following the franchise system. She gives a lot of great other advice in addition to aspiring entrepreneurs, but I just thought her advice was fantastic. So here we go with Carol Mercurio, franchise consultant.
Yeah, it's important too.
It is, because success means different things to different people.
Right.
You know, there are people that could be very happy making $40,000-$50,000 a year, and there's others that would just never tolerate that. So you have to pick the right opportunity. It's going to meet not just your personal goals, but your income potential as well.
You have to like what you're doing, and most of the time that'll turn into making more money. So.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, the truth is that franchising really isn't for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know, Michael Gerber, you know, one of your guests who is one of my heroes, so to speak.
Right.
I love his book. I recommend his book all the time.
Yeah.
And as he says, you know, there's a difference between an entrepreneur and what he calls a technician.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, and we'll go into that if you want to move forward in the
Sure, absolutely. We'll go to the next slide. And that's slide four, Carol says, that's all great, but...
Do you have what it takes? And,
right.
and that's really what this presentation will help people do. When I do this presentation live, it takes about 2 hours, and, you know, there are people at the end of the presentation will run to the front door and can't get out fast enough. They're scared to death. Or you have those folks that just linger on because they really want to learn more and educate themselves to see if this is the right fit for them. But there's a lot to figure out, you know, before you actually can pull the trigger and make that decision. And as you mentioned just previously, the due diligence is imperative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to do a good job of figuring that out. You know, is it the right connection personally, and are you connecting with a company that you feel is a comfortable marriage between the two of you?
Absolutely. Right.
And so that's what we're going to do, is help determine if this is, in fact, the right path to explore. And then we can move on to motivation.
Okay.
And, you know, if you know, for me, I think motivation is really, really a major component of this whole process. If you're not motivated to do this, don't do it. If somebody tells you you should do it for a variety of different reasons, but it's not your own passion,
right,
you probably won't do well at it. And, you know, there's two different types of motivation. There's positive motivation and there's negative motivation. So you have to think of it, is it an inspiration? Are you inspired to do this or are you desperate to do this? There's a big difference here.
Absolutely.
Are you, you know, running from something or you're running towards something?
Right, right.
And, you know, for me, I work with a lot of folks that have been downsized and they're in transition in life, and I certainly can relate to it. But they may go to looking at a business because they can't find a job. Or maybe lesser positions are offered to them, less money, less title, or maybe their severance is about to end and they need to make some decision quickly. Bad choice.
Right.
It's not a good reason to buy a business. It's
like a last resort type of decision. So you can quickly determine part of your services is finding out that motivation level pretty early on.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I won't move forward in our consultation until that candidate can tell me what their reason is.
Right.
And it's not just because, you know, I want control over my destiny. Who doesn't?
you know,
everybody does.
That's true.
Or they want to make more money. Who wouldn't?
Right, absolutely.
You know, it has to go layers deeper than that, or as I look at it, you know, having a burning desire, or I'll add to that a little pain. You know, if you can't relate to the pain, then there's no reward at the end.
Absolutely.
And going into business for yourself can be painful. You know, with franchising, of course, it's a little bit easier because you have all the support, but it's still you're starting a business from scratch.
That's
and you
Marty
have to
and I
really
always
want
talk
it.
About. Right.
I'm sorry.
Right, right. We always talk about that. That there's no guarantee of success, but if you follow the system, work hard, look at the stats we just went over. I mean, the failure rate's so low. And then with getting the right
match,
you know, consultation from someone like yourself, and,
right,
you know, you should be okay.
Well, and it's true. And, you know, the systems that are in place with franchising are the major reasons why people gravitate to franchising. But if you're not the personality to follow a system, and you're more of that entrepreneur, as Michael Gerber would say,
right,
the best way to describe it is you can't paint the golden arches green.
Right, right.
You know, it just won't work.
Absolutely.
Either you follow the system and you'll be successful or not. But most importantly, there has to be a motivation. And everyone's motivation is different. You know, the way I help people see things is if you look down the road, say, the next 3-5 years from today, how do you see your life being different, if at all?
Right.
You know, what do you want to accomplish? You know, and for some people, it might be doing things that they've just missed doing, like having the freedom to play golf or, you know, having the money to buy a boat and taking their family on it and being with their family and having that quality time that they just don't have in their current world.
That's interesting.
So you consider that positive motivation because that's the whole big picture of success in business, working hard and then having all that personal stuff on the side.
Oh, yeah. What's the end result look like? You know, what is it that you want to accomplish by being in business for yourself? I mean, what is your burning desire? Where is the pain now? I mean, if you look at your current situation today, you know, I'll have people that I'm working with that are making, you know, well over six-figure incomes, and they...
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 6 years and 300 shows under our belt, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from franchise expert Joel Labava, and Joel has the distinction of being one of two guests in the 6 years we've been hosting the show of appearing on the show three times. So you know what fans we are of Joel. He recently wrote a book called Become a Franchise Owner, which is a must-read in franchising. And today Joel's going to talk about unpeeling the onion and getting to the core and the importance of franchisees being able to do it their way. So listen to what Joel said. I thought it was quite fascinating.
Franchise pro like yourself on, it's only going to help people who are listening. The more information, the better.
Boy, that's true.
Let me ask you this, Joel, this question we like to ask our guests on the show. What types of characteristics do you think make a successful franchisee?
Well, the obvious one is, and that's why I don't meet everybody that is referred to me or that finds me,
right.
Because I try to find out if they are maybe a little too entrepreneurial.
Right.
Purchase a franchise. For instance, I've had people that have owned previous businesses that have closed them or have sold them and then want to do something else, and they start looking at a franchise.
Right.
And I'm very cautious, and I tell them up front, you know, you've been doing your own thing for 10 years here. Do you really want to work with a 300-page operations manual and sign a franchise agreement and do it their way after you've been doing it your way for so long? So one of the characteristics is someone that is willing to and has followed a system of some type.
Right.
That not someone who's always fought the system, who always has a different, better idea. That is not a good franchisee candidate.
Absolutely.
One does not have to be a robot, but one has to say, look, I have to put my ego aside. This is their idea. The cost of entry is the franchise fee up front, and the continuing cost is royalty income.
Right.
And you know what? And I'm pretty blunt when I do my seminars. Guess what, guys and gals? It wasn't your idea.
Right.
So you get to pay the folks that it's their idea, but maybe they can help you get where you want to go. So I look for people that get it and that I feel are going to follow a system.
That's interesting.
And I guess you can tell pretty quickly who has that right attitude and passion.
Within a couple minutes.
Right.
Just on the phone, I can tell.
Right.
So I'm careful who I meet with, because I don't want to, you know, meet with people just because they have a nice net worth, just because they say they want to get into business. I like to go deeper than that. I really want to, you know, unpeel that onion, and let's find out if this is the right fit. You know, some folks will meet anyone. I'm not like that.
Right.
You know, especially since most of the folks I help are around here. I really have skin in the game. I'm very well known in the Cleveland area. I don't want to try to help people get into business that are going to set themselves up for failure.
Right. Interesting.
You know, it's wrong.
Right.
So I'd rather meet less people that really understand what they're getting into rather than a volume of people that, you know, may get lucky and be successful. That's not how I do business.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising by Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews now almost 6 years, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today you're going to get to hear from Sean Folk, who is a military veteran who's done very well in franchising, and Sean's going to give some great advice to perhaps some other military veterans who are looking to go into their own franchise. So here we go.
So it sounds kind of obvious, but why did GFC Management start this program then, Sean? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think they saw the opportunity out there to find someone who is going to come in and execute that system. Like you were saying a minute ago about, there's some people out there who franchising ends up not being right for them. They think they can either do it better or what corporate says it doesn't work for them. You know, so we have those franchisees as well. You know, some of them who just kind of bucked the system along the way. And sometimes, you know, they have great ideas, but other times it almost seems like they make it harder for themselves. If they would just execute the system, they would be so much better off. So, you know, and me talking to our franchisor, and they saw my success, and I do preach talking about the system. I say the system's there, execute it, just follow along. And I'm not saying that you just have to be a sheep and just do whatever they tell you. I question them at times. I challenge them at times. I I say that I don't think that's going to work, and we work together to try to, mm-hmm. to make changes. So I'm not saying that you have to come in and just be blind and walk along the way, but I am saying that that person, like a veteran, who comes in and understands that it's collaborative work, working together to make things better, I think that is the person that they're really looking for. So they saw an opportunity in offering it to veterans, and with the programs that are out there with the IFA and the VetFran system that's out there, knowing that there's tens of thousands coming back every year right now, we saw an opportunity to take advantage of people who are going to be successful.
Wow. So what should veterans consider when contemplating franchising, then, Sean? What would you say to them?
Well, I think they should consider, like what we were talking about earlier, kind of what they're interested in the first place. Definitely do a lot of due diligence. Make sure that you understand what you're getting into. Ask a lot of questions. I would encourage them to ask if in the system that they're interested in, like Great American Cookies, ask if they have veterans in their system already and try to talk to them, because I think a veteran talking to a veteran gives a whole different perspective on things and an understanding of what it really takes to be successful in that system. And so ask that question, and then you got to know your finances, and you got to know what the qualifications are, and that's part of the due diligence of knowing what you're getting into.
That's a good point. Just speaking to franchisees in general, too, just as try to speak to as many as you can. Do plenty of due diligence.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's a lot of effort from the development team of a franchisor to say, here's a list of franchisees that you may want to call and find out about our system. Well, I think if a veteran's coming in, they ought to say, well, are any of these veterans? And if not, can I talk to a veteran? And I think they have a whole different language that they communicate on. And I think that they can get a different picture and a more accurate picture that relates to them a little bit more.
It's also good to see so many franchise systems part of the VetFran program.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 6 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Lawrence Doc Cohen, who is a veteran of the franchise industry, who first franchised Great American Cookies 33 years ago. He became the first ever franchisee inducted into the International Franchise Association Hall of Fame, and you're going to get to hear from him right now.
I like it. Let's do it.
What was it that made you decide to go into franchising, Doc? I mean, again, you had, a couple different choices, I guess, at that time of your life. What was it about, becoming a franchisee?
Well, I had been part of other startups, and I knew just how difficult it was to begin a concept. So let's just say I had wanted to be Doc's Cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I could have done that. I could have said, all right, well, now I've got to develop a recipe. I've got to do my marketing program. I've got to get the financing. I've got to do an operations manual. I've got to figure out how to do it. I've got to figure out where the locations ought to be. And your franchising, a lot of that's done for you already. A franchise provides a concept that's been proven and tested. Somebody else has done all that work. The systems are typically in place and have been revised over time to prove that they can be successful, and it was just a great way to go.
Question I've been dying to ask you is, what's changed in franchising? I mean, you've been involved in it for such a long time now. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen, Doc, over that time?
Well, there have been a number of them. I think probably the most significant is the level of sophistication of the franchisee today, as opposed to when I went into it. And I don't think I'm the most unsophisticated person in the world, looking back. But I really went into this without doing sufficient homework. And so, as I said, a lot of this was luck back then. Today, franchisees are much more likely to have
strong legal advice, very strong financial advice, are familiar with things like business plans. I didn't know what a business plan was when I went into business. I had no idea what a business plan was. And today's franchisees are much more knowledgeable about those things. And today, franchisees are more likely to be multi-unit and multi-brand. That's something that has changed significantly over the years, is that today you find franchisees like myself, in fact, that operate multiple brands and sometimes across different companies. So, you know, we have two brands in our from my own franchisor, and then I operate actually three other concepts.
Wow, that's interesting. Are you surprised about the number of franchise systems and the number of industries that are now franchising, Doc? I mean, when you first got into this, you know, going back 33 years ago, I mean, there weren't as many systems, there weren't as many industries. I guess it might have been maybe a little easier to get into franchising because it seems like there's so many choices and so many industries today. Are you surprised at the number of systems and industries?
No, not at all. I mean, it's funny because 33 years ago, I was thinking, oh my gosh, how do I get to be a franchisee? You must really have to know somebody to get one of these franchises. And what I think's happened over the years is that as franchising has grown, people have recognized that it's such a great way to grow a business. So you have an entrepreneur who has this great idea, and the entrepreneur develops the idea and sees it bloom, and it gets he or she gets going with it, and it's really fantastic. And then somebody else sees it and says, "Gee, you know, that's a great idea. I'd like to do it." And you know, as an entrepreneur, you may be sitting there with limited capital, and you say, "Well, yeah, I can teach you how to do this," and you really get excited about the prospect of teaching someone else how to do the business that you've developed and grown. And I think that's what's exciting about franchising. And that's why I think, for one reason anyway, why franchising has grown. It's a great way for an entrepreneur to get more rapid growth of a concept that he or she has developed.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Franchise Interviews has been hosting Franchise Interviews for almost 6 years now and almost 300 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today you're going to get to hear from Art Cole, who is the president of Alpha Graphics, and Art has a wonderful quote. He says that franchising is one of the greatest inventions for small business, and he kind of expands why, so here we go.
Fantastic program. I mean, when I saw it, I said I thought this was very exciting for you guys, you know, and it's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, it sounds like your franchise partners are certainly going to appreciate something like this, and I guess that's the benefit of getting into franchising as well, isn't it, Art? You know, is to, you know, have a program like this, you know, a very strong program that the franchisees can really benefit from.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Marty, you know, you said something earlier, you know, I was saying earlier about, you know, that nearly 10 years of restaurant ownership, there were months, Marty, and we were not a franchise, were months, Marty, where I begged for somebody to send a royalty check to, because I thought, man, if somebody could bring me some turnkey marketing programs, if somebody could bring me some training solutions that were already ready to go for the employees and how to hire them and who's the right person, how to recruit them, if somebody could bring me a process for creating more traffic at my restaurant or operational workflow and checklist, Marty, I believe, you know, and I've had people, you know, great people like, you know, Bud Hadfield, and I can, you know, go down the list of just the names of people that have, you know, are in my cell phone that I can call anytime. I mean, John Luther over at Duncan Brands and Jim Amos, who, you know, led mailboxes, et cetera, and you know all these names. I think I'm honored being on your show today just knowing those guys.
Thank you.
People like that are people that you've interviewed. But,
you
know, franchising, I believe, is the greatest invention for small business ownership.
Yeah.
Because franchising doesn't change the fact that you're still a small business owner.
Exactly.
all franchising should do. I mean, my job as president of Alpha Graphics is to take people who have decided they want to be a small business owner and they want to do it in this arena of providing visual communication solutions, whether that's a document solutions or marketing solutions. But my job as president of Alpha Graphics is just simply to take the hurdles that may be 6 feet high if you're out there on your own trying to do it yourself, and let's take them down to 6 inches. The hurdles are still there. You're still going to have employee issues. You're still going to have operational issues. You still need to have somebody. You're still going to deal with your financials and your business. And I think sometimes prospective franchisees forget that.
Yes.
They forget that they're still they may possibly think the franchisor is going to take those problems away. And there are some that we do remove off the table, but for the most part, they're all still there. We just have systems and approach and coaching and support to help you manage that. And now it's a little speed bump in the road in the road instead of a climbing Mount Kilimanjaro.
Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising by Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 4 years and slowly approaching that magic number 250. And during that time frame, you can imagine we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Last week, we did a Franchise Rewind with Tariq Fareed. And Tariq is the founder of the Edible Arrangements Franchise Opportunity. And if you're new to franchising, or if you just started your franchise search, this will really put things in perspective as far as what makes a successful franchisee. So we're going to call this one the Franchise Secret. Do whatever this guy says, and I think you're going to enjoy this one. So, again, enjoy this edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews.
There's been a nice diversity, too, it sounds like, of your franchisees, Tariq, in studying edible arrangements. You know, I mean, it sounds like it's been lawyers and accountants and just a nice mix, you know?
A very nice mix, to a point, even to a point where it surprised us in the beginning. And I remember when we started franchising in the beginning, I had no franchise experience. I mean, I was a retailer, and I was making this product with my brother and delivering it. And you would have people coming up and saying, I want to buy a franchise. And, you know, Don could appreciate this because he's been here for a while. I remember talking to Michael Saeed and everyone. And, somebody would say, I'm a lawyer. I don't want to be a lawyer anymore. And so they go, wait a minute, you're going to go from a lawyer cutting fruit? It doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
You know, and then we have some of these people in our system right now, and they're very, very successful business people. And I have the utmost admiration for them I was hesitant, and I remember I always share a story with people that I had some people come in the beginning, and I was convincing them not to buy because I really didn't want them to fail.
Right.
And I thought they had good careers and things like that, but they turned out to be incredible franchisees where they own 5, 6, 7 stores, so they do great.
Yeah, this is a perfect example of if you just follow the system, no matter what your background is, and usually age might not have to do with it much either. Of course, the older you are, more experienced, maybe you have a little bit of an advantage, but really you just follow the system, you know, you train them in everything, a very high chance of being successful.
That's really the secret. I mean, we do our discovery days, and I always try to share that with even the prospects. So whatever system you go into, you know, there's a reason you're buying a franchise. And one of my most successful franchisees, who was our third store, I walked into his store after about a year of convincing him how to do it, and he was a successful businessman before that, and he always gave me a bit of a hard time. And then, you know, he kind of saw that we were going in a certain momentum, and he started to follow, and he sat in front of his whole crew one day and said, okay, guys, from now on, whatever these guys say goes. However they say it, we do it. We don't question it, and when their trainers come in or they come in, and he is the most successful franchisee in our system. He is single-handedly the most successful franchisee in our system. And all it is that as he's duplicated, his concept from one store to two to three to four, he followed that simple formula. And, you know, the burden was on us to make sure that we provide him the solutions, provide him the support, be it him, his managers, and from that he benefited. And he's, you know, he may have 1 or 2 years of experience of running the stores. We had 5 or 6 by then. So that's exactly what it has done, and it does work every time.
Yeah,
That's a great story, Tyra, because it's been a common theme on our show, Don, hasn't it? Where we've had
right.
a lot, some of the most successful franchisees to some pretty big systems, and they've all said the same thing, Tyra, because all they did was just follow the system, you know? They didn't change anything, and became very successful, you know? So that's great to hear.
And especially if it's working. If you're
right.
getting on board a system that is working, that is growing, you know, what do they say? If it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know? So
absolutely.
Why do anything? Just take advantage of it. And I always use that analogy of, you know, with some of our franchisees to say, you know, I hate to take it down to this level, but it is kind of a kindergartner/sixth grader effect, where I've been in this building 6 years, so I kind of know every corner and the nook and cranny, and I know how the principal, what he likes and what he doesn't like. You need to learn, so let me teach you. You know, so you're coming in, and then you see and you see some incredible transformation. We have some incredible stories, and I'm sure every franchise system does. And the success that we have, you know, it has to do with these, you know, these great franchisees that we've had that have taken on and actually listened and applied some of the policies and procedures and technologies and other things that we created to make them successful.
I guess, Tarek, sometimes, you know, yourself or your staff, if you see a prospect maybe sometimes a little too entrepreneurial, you know, I guess you really have to, you know, speak to them to let them know that, you know, it might not be a fit, you know, with your company.
We used to do, I remember in the beginning doing that a lot to let people know that, you know, I love your passion, I love your energy and everything, but you keep talking about your experiences and how you've done stuff. There may be a bit of a conflict there. We may always get into a bit of a tussle. So you have to look at this, that we have systems and standards, and we've experimented with these. We've actually mastered them, and we've proven them at multiple times. So you may want to turn around and try it a different way, but it's really not going to work. More, not necessarily only for yourself, but for the total success of the system, because there is consistency in everything, and we know what's going to work. So we have those conversations, but once you get to a certain number, a certain mass in your system, that comes up less and less. And I think there's a class of prospects or franchisees or new owners that start coming to you after a while to say, look, I want to duplicate what you've done. How do I do it? And they don't want to turn around and start from scratch. And that was great when we started to get a lot of existing franchise prospects, meaning they were in other systems, and when they came into our system, they found success very, very quickly because they had gone through those processes, and we gave them some tools that they did not have before, and they saw some benefits that they had not seen before or had already gone through the process where we didn't really need to explain, and they turned their stores around very, very quickly.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. For each podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews now for almost 2 years with 100 shows under our belt, and during that time frame, we've had some incredible quotes from the guests that have been on our show. If you're a frequent listener to our weekly radio show, then you know what fans Don and I are of the great Michael Gerber, author of the very successful E-Myth Revisited and Awakening the Entrepreneur Within. What's even more amazing is how often Michael's name has come up from our guest in the past 2 years. So you're going to hear from the great Michael Gerber in just a moment. And for the first time on Blog Talk Radio, Franchise Interviews is giving franchisors a unique opportunity to sponsor our weekly radio show. You can have a professionally recorded commercial run on our live as well as archive shows. And here's a quick message from our sponsor, and then again, the great Michael Gerber. So enjoy.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2000.
2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
That's a great story.
Which, by the way, I'm now reading again for the second time. I recommend everybody out there, it's been a while since they've read the E-Myth, to read it again. It's really a great little refresher, because people seem to forget about things over time, Michael.
I've got guys, I swear, Don, who tell me they pull out the E-Myth Revisited every year. Mm-hmm. One gentleman I spoke to, the founder of an extraordinary company, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, mm-hmm. who's a franchisor,
right.
He credits the E-Myth with the creation of his company, and he credits the E-Myth with the continued vitalization of his company and the growth of his company. They now have a few more than 300 franchisees around the world. The guy is less than 40. He's the CEO of this company. He started by driving a truck, picking up junk, read the book, read the E-Myth Revisited, and suddenly saw the light. And the product of that is a company which last year did $147 million in gross revenue and has the expectation of reaching $1 billion in revenue in the next 8 years. So the man's on path, and he takes the E-Myth out every year and reads it again and insists that every one of his management team reads the book. And in fact, I'm the keynote at his annual event in March. So I'll be in Vancouver addressing 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Right, right. The show we had last week, Michael, with the CEO and president of a franchise opportunity called Desert Moon, Gary Occhi-Grasso, he spoke about you for like 10 minutes during the show. I mean, it's just amazing the impact that you've had in the franchise community. I mean, your name comes up every other show.
Thank you. And you know, I don't know 90% of these people, so I hear... this guy says, and this guy says, and that guy. It's really quite extraordinary to me because I don't know these people.
Exactly. I can't imagine, you know, what kind of fuel you have. I mean, I don't know how you go to bed at night, Michael. I mean, changing the story you told about, you know, the young gentleman, you know, being depressed and stuff like that. I mean, the kind of fuel that you must get from that kind of situation must be incredible for you.
It is. It's absolutely extraordinary, and... life is simply an array of infinite options, and they're continually showing up.
Absolutely.
They're constantly, constantly, constantly showing up. I can't imagine how anybody could feel limited or deprived of opportunity when there is so much more opportunity than any single one of us could possibly deal with. And I see it every single day in my mind. There's one, there's one, there's one. Why doesn't anybody do that? Why doesn't anybody do that? It's extraordinary when you begin to experience the entrepreneur within, and anybody, any single person on the face of this earth can experience it if they begin the process right. And that's what I'm committed to.
Absolutely. And the title is great, too, Michael, you know, how you added, in addition to how ordinary people create extraordinary companies without any experience to guide them. You were one of those people, I think you referenced Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Michael Dell. I mean, all these guys really didn't have this significant experience in business. It was all based on a dream or their imagination.
Exactly. They had no experience in business. Bill Gates wasn't a business guy.
Right.
Bill Gates didn't work for a living. Bill Gates went to Harvard and then dropped out. Michael Dell didn't have any experience when he started his business. Nobody, no great entrepreneur, has necessarily had any business experience at all. They simply imagined a result that they saw was absolutely needed in the world, and then they invented the answer to that problem in a business. Well, anybody can do that.
Right.
And in the book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, I take you step by step by step through the golden process through which any company can be started from scratch in your garage. And I'm essentially saying, if your car is parked in your garage, move it out and start a business.
Exactly, absolutely.
It seems like, Michael, top entrepreneurs are never satisfied. I mean, in chapter 3 of your book, I thought it was great. You talk about you woke up one day and you had nothing to do. Personally, I mean, that's my dream, to wake up one day and have nothing to do, but just for a day before I get back to business. But, you know, of course, yourself being a top entrepreneur, you just weren't satisfied with that. You had to, take that next step and do something great again, and that's what you did, obviously, with this book.
Yeah, well, and you got to understand, when I say I had nothing to do, I had everything to do, but I didn't have to do it.
Right.
In other words, I didn't have to go out and earn a living anymore.
True.
But I do. I didn't have to go out and speak anymore, but I do continuously. I didn't have to go out and write another book. My books are among the top 5 business books ever published in the world. E-Myth Revisited sells more books every year than it sold before.
Wow.
It's the most extraordinary phenomenon. So I didn't have to do anything. There's nothing that caused me to go out and create the Dreaming Room other than my fertile imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm simply saying, what an extraordinary place to live in the imagination, because one can begin to imagine a world unlike the world we live in and then take it upon yourself to invent it. And that's all it is, inventing it. Everybody invents every single day of their life. The problem is, most of us invent the past.
Mm-hmm. True.
I'm about inventing the future.
Right. And this book precedes the E-Myth, Michael, so I guess everybody who has read the E-Myth is going to have to read Awakening the Entrepreneur Within as well.
Your lips to God's ears.
There you go.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now for almost 2 years, with 100 shows under our belt, and during that time frame, we've had some incredible guests and some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from the Chief Executive Officer of the Rita's Franchise Opportunity, and take a listen to what Jim says about trust, respect, and belief. And for the very first time with our partnership with Blog Talk Radio, Franchise Interviews is now allowing some unique sponsorship opportunities to franchisors to help you reach a large audience of prospective franchisees. So enjoy, here's a message from our sponsor, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising.
For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Our partners, what is it that we're looking for? So separate from the commitment and the passion and the integrity and wanting to work hard, you need to do something else for that franchisor. And so whether it's Rita's or it's, I heard you talk about the other concepts that you have coming on, you need to do 3 things with that franchisor, because a franchisor does it with you. It's about trusting that franchisor, respecting the franchisor, and believing in the franchisor. Trust, respect, and believe. Because if you're going to become a franchisee, as my father used to say, we pay this fee and we pay a royalty of every dollar. It's our responsibility to be able to believe in these guys and respect them and trust them. And it's difficult over the years, 20 years with Wendy's, 19 years. I'll be very honest. There was many ups and there were many downs. But there was never a point that we never believed in the concept and we didn't respect the guys. That was very important. So what I try and express and preach to our partners, because we do it internally, and I want them to feel the same, is to trust us, believe in us, and respect us. And if you do that, then we're going to be successful together. Because if you go back to the beginning, it's why you bought the concept. And not everybody should be a franchisee. But if you take that route and you make the commitment of the franchisee, then do as the company suggests and recommends. Because go back to why you made the decision to become a franchisee. And the headlines, to trust them, respect them, and believe in them, because they do with you.
And I think you're not going to have a problem getting that with future franchisees and, of course, your stores now because of your so many years as being a franchisee. You're thinking just like them. You know what they want and think and everything. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I wish, I got to be honest, I wish it was that simple. It isn't. Can I mention something else that I've really been working on, talking about, articulating a lot? And we branded it the 5 C's, which I think is important, not that I think, I believe is important for this concept to be successful and to have many, many more years. We're celebrating, which is pretty historical, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary next year, which is, I remember I was with Wendy's when they did their 25th. It's a big deal. There's very few that celebrate 25 years. But anyway, we branded it at the 5 C's, and I won't go through them, but I'll just quickly give you the words. The first one is a commitment to the RITA system, and they're all self-explanatory, but that's number one.
Right.
Number two is the consistency, and I really drive that from the consistency from the store operations first, but then everything that we do as a franchisor and a franchisee, we need to be consistent because we all of us, everybody wants to do the right thing, and we all want to be good, and if we have this concept of being consistent and doing it every day, we got a better chance. The third is communication, and to me, we never get, as I say, I'm not an expert, we are constantly thinking about how to improve the communication. It is our lifeblood, it's our conduit, this is a partnership, and communication is the key to any relationship, husband and wife, siblings, whatever, it's communication. Four is the R&D, research and development. I can go through the product that we introduced this year. We introduced one last year, and we're going to introduce more next year, is because we as customers, guests, want to have more of a variety of products. And then the last one, and probably the most important, and this is a major one, and I call it embracing change, because the world is changing quick, but it's more than change. We need, as individuals, to embrace it. We need to embrace it and be a part of it and be in support of it, because change is difficult. I guess I've gone through it. I have many experiences of being difficult with change. I'm at the opposite extreme. I look for change. I want change. I promote change. Because if we're not changing, then we're going to be left behind. This world, the business world, the franchise world, the guests are changing so fast. We need to be changing with them. And it's so difficult to be embracing it. So,
I think that's, great points, Jim. The change is part of life. And, even some of your, most well-known concepts, the McDonald's and so forth, always have to be going through changes and adapting and so forth. So that's a good point to have that attitude. You're like the professor, Jim. I'm here, writing frantically, taking notes.
So am I.
You're doing a great job here.
Thank you. I, that's not my intent, but thank you. I appreciate that.
Talk a little about, Jim, just about the history of the meetings. People love
Hi everyone, this is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 2 years, and almost have done 100 shows up to this point, and during that time frame, we've had some fantastic quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from one of the top franchise attorneys in the country, Kevin Hine, and Kevin's going to talk to you about the hallmark of franchising. Our podcast today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And here we go with Kevin Hine.
I think that people need to focus on is whether or not they can easily replicate their system. The more difficult, the more detailed the operation is, the harder it is to replicate. So, for example, take the food industry. You see lots and lots of franchise companies in the quick service restaurant segment, in fast casual segment, but you see very few successful franchise companies in the fine dining or the white tablecloth segment.
Sure.
And the reason is that it's very difficult to teach other people to execute at that level. When you've got people coming in at a very high price point, they don't want just food, they want a good experience, and that requires a certain level of skill and expertise, and it's very hard to replicate that across restaurants, even in a single city, much less across the country. So you want to make sure that you have something that's pretty easy to replicate and that you can train people on, because frankly, you want people to, you want your franchisees to come in and be able to duplicate what you've done, or you're not going to build a very successful franchise system.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons people invest in a franchise, of course, the money aspect, but because of this, the simplicity, hopefully, that the franchisor puts together. So this is a big part of you know, what you're talking about here, Kevin.
Absolutely. And the hallmark of franchising, and I know that some people can be critical of this, but the hallmark of franchising is that you give people the same experience no matter what market they're in.
Exactly.
You know, and we all know that if we stop at a McDonald's, whether we're in Portland, Oregon, or Portland, Maine, that hamburger is going to be the same.
Right.
And it's the same experience, and people come to rely on that and count on that experience, and that's why franchising has been so successful in so many industries.
Absolutely.
You know, and the last thing I always tell people is that you better have a unique marketing proposition. If you're going to try and franchise something and it's already been done, then you're at a real disadvantage. If you're just going to roll out the next hamburger chain franchise and there's nothing unique about what you do, then people are not going to be interested in buying into your system. They want to know, how do I compete with McDonald's, not how do I stand out there as a me too in comparison to McDonald's. So whether it's a new way of providing the service, whether it's a new way of collecting money, whether it's a new gimmick in terms of getting people in the door. I think of Pizza Patron, for example, the pizza chain out of Texas that serves predominantly the Latino market that recently started to accept pesos.
Right, we mentioned
and
that.
I mean, that's a great marketing proposition. It's a way to say, look, yeah, we sell pizza, but boy, is this ever, you know, a unique way to get people in the door, people who have different currencies and who have different issues. You know, we're gonna service that market. That's something unique. And that's what makes that's one of the things that makes that chain particularly unique, and therefore is able to attract people to become prospective franchisees.
Yeah, that pizza chain got a lot of PR too, Kevin, from that whole thing. You know, by doing something different, you know, it was they were pretty much in every national newspaper across the United States.
Yeah,
right. Well, you know,
there's
the old saying that, you know, good PR or bad PR is the same. It's going to drive people in the door.
Right.
Yeah, wasn't that your idea, Kevin? That accepting pesos?
That I would love to say that was my idea, but I'm not.
You know, you brought up a good point about the uniqueness here. I mean, I don't know if you listened earlier, but last week we interviewed Badass Coffee, and you know, there's a lot of different coffee franchises, but they stand out because they're quality coffee. They have the Hawaiian theme.
Right.
They have a whole story behind it. It was why they're having success, Kevin, is this point you're bringing up about the unique marketing, you know, proposition.
Right. That's what I thought of, Dom. As Kevin was explaining this, I thought of the same thing, Badass Coffee.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a great example. There's lots of coffee purveyors out there.
Right.
What's the hook? What's the hook to get people to buy the franchise? And more importantly, what's the hook to get new customers in the door?
Exactly.
Right.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. Each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews for over 2 years now with over 110 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today you're going to get to hear from Barry Falcon, who's one of the founders of the Shelf Genie franchise concept. And you know, a lot of times if you're a listener to our show, you know that Don and I compare franchising in many instances to a marriage, not to diminish the sanctity of marriage, but it really is in some instances that big. Barry had a wonderful quote. We're going to call this podcast Data Little, and I think it's going to make a little more sense as we dive deeper into it. So, in
of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
They have over 50 locations. A lot of times, you know, people don't want to invest until they feel comfortable with the people at the top, so imagine you guys doing a good job in that area.
Well, you know, we have Discovery Day, and what, like I think you mentioned, it is a marriage. So people have to get along with, you know, with Alan and I, basically, because we're the leading the company at this point. And so it is part of a relationship. We bring them in for Discovery Day and spend a whole day with them and talk to them and also learn a little about their background, what their needs are, what they're looking for, and not everybody is a good fit on either side. They might not like us, and we might not like them. But so it's not always a good fit. But you know, sometimes you date a little before you get married. And so we're looking for long-term relationships. So it's a 5-year franchise agreement with renewals, and we're looking to keep that going.
So staying on that topic, as far as it has to be a right fit on both sides, what are the type of characteristics that you look for in a franchisee, Barry?
Well, we look for somebody that has a smile on their face with a little outgoing personality and understands sales and marketing. And so and they have to understand that advertising and marketing is an investment, not an expense. So, you know, folks that see that and are, you know, either have run businesses before or just understand business and been done in some home sales, just any kind of business experience is really great. We have an extensive training program, but conversely, somebody that came out of being a CPA, maybe not our ideal candidate if they're just looking at expenses and how to cut costs versus how to grow the business. And so we really like to have people that are outgoing, like to deal with people, like to solve people's problems, because you're providing a solution to make their life easy. And believe me, after installation, they're getting hugs and we get testimonial letters all the time. So you have to like dealing with people. And if you don't, then this is not the position for you or the business for you. If you want to sit in the back of an office someplace and just crunch numbers, then shelf genie's not it. But if you...
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting franchise interviews now over 2 years with over 111 shows under our belt, and during that time frame, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Steve Beagleman, who is a franchise expert and veteran, and Steve answers the question, should I go with a small small franchise system or a large franchise system? And I thought Steve's response was quite brilliant. So first we'll hear a quick word from our sponsor, and then Steve Beagleman with, should I go with a small franchise system or a large franchise system? Take care, everyone.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Yeah, very important. So, you know, you've been with small startup franchise companies. You've been at the larger companies. What are some of the big differences between those two type of scenarios, Steve?
Well, Don, smaller companies obviously give a lot of attention to the franchisee. So, you know, every franchisee, you know that franchisee by name. You can get a hold of, you know, the owners of the company or the CEO of the franchise system. Pretty much you build very, very strong relationships when you're joining a smaller system. When you're joining a smaller system, you also typically get your choice of prime territory, maybe in your backyard where you want to be and open a business. Don't want to have to drive an hour to your store every day or your location,
right.
So you get the prime territory. You get to know the you know management team, the owners of the company, and the concept, and really build that strong relationship. The challenge is the brands aren't as well known, so it takes time. And you know obviously you need to make a decision when you're a franchise candidate or a potential franchisee looking at concepts. Do you want to join a company that's in the infancy and the growth stage, or do you want to join a more established, you know, national brand that has presence but's going to have limited locations available? You might have to go a much farther distance to get that location, and they have, you know, proven systems in place. So you're going to have to follow that system to a T, and you're going to deal typically with a regional operations manager and training managers in that region. You're not going to get to know the top level of management in a large company, whether it's a, you know, Dunkin' Donuts or a Dairy Queen or a Yum Brands. You're just not going to have that kind of interaction with the top management team. They're just too large of an organization. Again, great companies, but it all depends what you're looking for as a franchise, you know, candidate or potential franchisee.
It's a real interesting question, though, huh? Like, you know, that's where a franchise consultant come in, speaking to an expert like yourself to really educate someone for that type of decision.
Sure. It is a big decision, and you need to really know yourself to know what you're looking for. If you want an absolute 100% proven concept that's been around, tried and true, then you're going to want to join one of the big chains that have been around for 20 plus years that have,
right,
you know, thousands of units. But if you're more an entrepreneur and you kind of want to feel things out and be a part of the growth strategy of an organization and impact some of the marketing decisions and decisions,
right,
from an operations standpoint for an organization, then you're going to look towards a smaller company that you can have impact, that you could be on the franchise advisory council,
right,
that you could really be involved with decisions that the company makes for growing the brand forward.
If you have more territory, being on the early part of the curve for that franchise that maybe has had some success so far, but they're really early in their process. So, yeah, real interesting.
Yep.
In 2006,
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 4 years, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from two franchisees to the Cartridge World franchise opportunity, and we like to call them franchipreneurs, entrepreneurs who actually purchased a franchise. And I thought they really hit the nail on the head with their advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise. They started off with the importance of working hard. You know, I think a lot of times when people are thinking about buying a franchise, that they may think it's going to be a little easier than going into their own business, and certainly not true at all. I mean, a common theme on our show, you know, whether we're talking to a franchisor or a franchisee, is they emphasize that the first year, especially the first year, is going to be a lot of hard work. They also talk about the importance of networking early, the importance of family support, which I think is very, very important, and also the importance of having enough capital to, again, get through that first year and that second year. It's going to be a lot of work. So I think you're going to enjoy this edition. And again, we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Here we go, and enjoy.
It is a wonderful part of the business, just meeting people and getting to know them and being able to help them out.
What advice, Norm, would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? Or, say, for example, Cartridge World. Now you've been through the whole process, training, owning a few stores. What advice would you have someone now listening thinking of Cartridge World?
First of all, you have to understand that you're going to work hard. It's your own business, and it's going to do as well as you are willing to work hard. Learn as much as you can about the marketplace and about your customer base. Network early. Get out there and meet people. Set the stage for when you're actually opening the business.
Right.
And understand the financial aspects of the business. You can't come in undercapitalized because it may take you a while to start generating some cash flow. And you have to be able to continue to run your business, to market, and to advertise. Let people know you're out there.
Very good point. How about you, Jeff, on that point?
I agree with everything that Norm said, but you really have to do your homework. If you set your mind that you want to be a franchise owner, of course you look at different business models and you choose the model that you think is good and will make sense for you now into the future. To me, it was very important to look for a business model that wasn't just a hot topic for today, something that was gonna carry on and be successful for years to come. And then I took on a franchise coach, as I mentioned earlier, and found out a lot of things that I didn't know. I mean, networking for sales is one thing, but networking to understand what you're in for is another thing that's sincerely important. You know, setting your business plan and your goals is of catamount importance, and understanding, as Norm had said, your financial needs. My franchise coach was not only interested in the fact that I wanted to be involved in a franchise, but he wanted to know, is my family behind it? Because you really need to have people behind it, because as Norm said, this is a 24/7, even if your store isn't open 24/7, it's a 24/7 thinking process in gearing up and ramping up your business.
We have about like 30 seconds.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. And today's podcast is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 4 years and over 200 shows, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on our show. The nice thing about hosting Franchise Interviews is we're frequently asked to be guests on radio shows and magazine interviews on the topics of entrepreneurship and franchising. And today,
today you're going to get to hear an interview that we did 6 months ago on CBS Radio with Lynn Johnson on her motivational talk show. And, of course, the topic was entrepreneurship and franchising. And here's what we said. I think you guys will enjoy it.
Hey, did you ever think about buying a franchise? Do you think that now is the worst time to buy one? Or you're not sure whether anyone would loan you money to purchase a franchise? How does the whole thing work? Well, let's find out. We have an expert on the line, Marty McDermott.
Hi, Coach Lynn. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's always great to talk to you. I always feel like it's a World Talk reunion, right? Get together.
I know. We started out, guys, a very long time ago. I think we're some of the only people left, aren't we?
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? But it just, and it seems like yesterday that we started, Lynn. You know?
It really does.
It's just incredible. But it's the success that you've had is just wonderful to watch, though. I mean, it's just incredible.
Thank you so much. And yours has been pretty fantastic. You know, Marty, just over the break, when I announced that you were going to be here talking about franchises, I got a tweet from Alice and a lot of other people, but I selected Alice's tweet.
Oh, good.
Because she says that her family has owned the same bagel shop for over 35 years.
Wow.
But now they're going to have to close because the business has slowed and their debts are too high. She wonders if setting up her own franchises could save their business. So, Marty, I know you're an expert and you host that wonderful show called Franchise Interviews on Blog
right.
Talk Radio.
That's right.
Are franchises for everyone?
Oh, great question, Lynn. It's a deep question and definitely not. In fact, you know what? If I can quote my friend Dr. John P. Hayes, franchising is not for everyone and it's probably not for most people. And when I say that, you know, the first time I heard that phrase, Lynn, I was a little confused because I said, if franchising isn't for everyone and it's not for most people, then who could it be for? You know, it's so. But for franchising is really for someone who knows how to follow rules, follow systems. They're not a true entrepreneur. When I say that, sometimes franchisees get upset because they say, what are you talking about? I consider myself an entrepreneur. The entrepreneur is really the person that actually creates the franchise opportunity. And, you know, when you're talking about franchisors or entrepreneurs, they're really, and you know this, Lynn, they're very creative people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can look at something.
They could never follow rules, Marty.
Exactly. And they could just create something out of anything, you know. Franchisees, and it was funny because I was in Virginia at George Mason University
mm-hmm.
on Friday talking about this topic, and one of the topics I was talking about was military being good candidates for franchises because they know how to follow a system, you know. So you really have to know how to follow a system, like to follow rules, and if you can't do that, then it's probably not for you, Lynn. So yeah, it's always a word of caution before getting into franchising.
Now, I know that you say that there are two key factors that should be present before you consider buying a franchise. What are those factors?
Well, it depends. There's a lot of different things. I mean, one is, what do you want the franchise to do for you, Lynn? You know, for example, like I'll give you an example. I like Dunkin' Donuts. You know, I frequent Dunkin' Donuts probably like, you know, several times a week. And as much as I like Dunkin' Donuts and the coffee and the donuts, I wouldn't be a good franchisee for that type of system, because when you buy into a Dunkin' Donuts, you're working some pretty hefty hours.
True.
You know? So one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, what's important to you? You know, you're really taking a deep assessment. And for me, you know, my family is most important to me. So if I wasn't, you know, with my family or my son, like if he has a baseball game one day or whatever it is, I'm going to get very frustrated, even if I'm making a lot of money. You know, so you want to ask yourself, what do you want this franchise to do for you? And you know, what kind of system is the best match for you? There's so many choices out there today, Lynn. I mean, there's like 80 different industries franchising. Yeah, a lot of people, when they just think of franchising, they just think of food. But it's actually up to about 80 different industries. There's accounting franchises, there's advertising franchises, there's shoe repair franchises, you name it. It seems like they have it, you know. So you really have to ask yourself, you know, what's the best match for you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of research. And, you know, of course you come down to the financials,
yes.
too. And, you know, I mean, you know, McDonald's, as successful as it is, it's almost a home run every single time you have a McDonald's. need family support. I think that's important as well. You know, I mean, if you're married, I think you have to have that support from your husband or your wife before you get into an opportunity as well, because you're taking them along for the ride with you.
I love that you said that, Marty.
Absolutely.
Do you know what you said? Mm-hmm. You said that you need the support from your husband, mm-hmm. which would infer that a woman could easily go in and buy a franchise. I love that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's, you can see the influence my wife has on me, too, I guess. It's, she's got me trained, Liz, you know. You know, and she's a fan of your show, by the way, too, you know. So you can tell I listen, you know. But absolutely. But it's so true. And, you know, speaking of women, Lynn, I mean, they really do make fantastic entrepreneurs, you know. I mean, it's amazing. I think for the first time, you know, I teach for Kaplan University.
Yes.
And we have, in colleges, for the first time, there's more women in college today than there are men.
And they're older as well.
And they're older, you know. So what does that say to you, you know, is there's a lot of exciting trends that are taking place here in the United States. So
now I wanted to ask you about this because I know that they just announced that even Ritz Camera is going to be closing many, many, many of their stores. And I'm kind of heartbroken about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm an amateur professional photographer.
Right.
But my question is, so how do you know if the franchise that you're interested in is even going to be around in the next 5 years?
Wow, it's a great question, you know, and nothing is ever 100% certain. I will say this, that not all franchises are created equal. And what you can do is, I mean, look at the company's track record for one. You know, one of the things that you can look at is their franchise disclosure documents, and look at the history of the company. Some companies that just started franchising, I mean, they haven't really been around very long, you know. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of taking a chance in a way. You know, and you can look at how many franchisees they have and things like that. I think there's certain franchises that are always going to be around. I think McDonald's will always be here. They have like 33,000 units. Subway has about 33,000 units. So those ones are pretty safe. It's almost a home run every single time. So there is always that element of risk involved, even when you are buying into a franchise system. You know, mm-hmm. of course, you can look at things like the market and things like that and kind of make your own assessments. But,
So, Marty, with all that you know, because I have 1 minute left, and I definitely want them to come and listen to you, because I love your show on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks so much, man.
And I want them to check out your work. It's very, very important. Are franchises still a viable option, even with this economic downturn?
Most definitely. I mean, I think, Lynn, and this is going to sound a little weird, is, you know, one of the interesting effects of the recession I see now is some of the best offers in franchising.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been doing this 10 years now. I mean, I'll give you a couple quick examples. Some franchisers, what they're doing is they're reducing or dropping a franchise fee for their new franchisees. Now, that's pretty significant because a franchise fee usually goes for about $30,000-$40,000. So they're waiving that. In some cases, there's two-for-one deals where if you buy one franchise, they'll drop the franchise fee for the second one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's really, you know, and that's the effect that I've noticed from the recession is really some incredible deals. Even the landlords right now, and I mean, you've noticed there's a lot of great locations available right now.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, you want to get those locations because, I mean, a great location can really overcome bad marketing, you know, and there's going to be a lot of people kicking themselves. Next year, they're going to say, I should have got into that opportunity last year when they waived the franchise fee, when I could have got this killer location in this particular spot. And, you know, landlords are sometimes more willing to give a great lease to a franchise as opposed to, let's say, Tony Supps, who's just like a regular guy. You know?
So somewhere Tony's saying, hey!
Exactly. Tony does that. But, you know, so they're really getting some incredible deals right now. I think that this is the most exciting time to get into franchising. But again, you know, to quote you, you know, franchising isn't for everyone. It's not for most people. You do have to really do your homework. It's not guaranteed every single time. And, you know, not all franchises are really created equal. There are some that are better than others.
Well, Marty, it's a pleasure to hear your voice and talk to you again.
It's a pleasure to hear your voice.
And where can my...
You're great.
Thank you. I love you, too.
Thanks, Coach Lynn.
Where can my people hear you, do business with you, and all those wonderful things?
Absolutely. Go to franchiseinterviews.com. You can hear over, I think we're up to 160 shows win record up to this point. Yeah, so it really, when I say that number, I mean, it just really, it tickles my spine because I didn't think that there was going to be a market for this, or we'd find like a listening base for it. But I mean, every single month we have more listeners, just like you know. So I haven't quite achieved your success yet, but someday. You
well,
know.
Thank you so much, Marty, and go check him out. Franchise interviews on Blog Talk Radio. My dear old friend from World Talk Radio.
Thanks
Marty
so much, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, prosper.
Take care. Bye bye.
Here is.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews. This week is going to be 2 years and 100 shows, and during that time frame, we've had some incredible guests and quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from, I think, one of the best motivational speakers in the world, Mr. Warren Gresius. And Warren talks about the importance of planning ahead and insurance. And for our very first time on our partnership with Blog Talk Radio, Franchise Interviews is now giving franchisors the opportunity to sponsor some upcoming radio shows. So once again, Mr. Warren Gresius, after a word from our sponsor, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Like insurance and things like that?
Yeah, one of the areas you address when talking about entrepreneurship is the importance of disability insurance, health savings accounts, and health insurance. I know my father-in-law was in the, had his own insurance business in New York City, and he always talked about the importance of disability insurance. So maybe talk about those couple things a little bit for entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. You know, the thing about disability insurance, a couple of things about it. First, it's a must. It must if you're going to own your own business. Remember, one of the big problems with owning your own business as opposed to working for a company is that you don't have a safety net. You know, when you work for somebody else, especially when you work for a large company, they're going to supply you with health insurance. They're going to supply you with a disability policy. They're also probably going to supply you with a small life insurance policy. But the second you leave that company, all that stuff is gone. And you're really going to need that disability insurance. And God forbid something happens to you and you're unable to work. Essentially, you're out of business. Well, disability insurance is going to give you an income. Now, remember something about disability insurance. Here's the important thing to remember. You cannot get disability insurance if you do not already have an income. And if you're first starting your own business, you're not going to have an income. So what I did was I knew I was going to go into my own business. So while I was working for somebody else and was making an income, I started buying disability insurance.
Right. And smart. So yeah.
While you're working, you must, you know, the whole thing about starting a business, if you're not planning ahead before you get into that business, don't go into business. You know, that's why I saved my money. That's why I bought disability insurance. I had disability insurance when I went into business because I knew once I started for the first few years, I wasn't going to be able to buy any more because I didn't have an income. I wasn't paying myself.
Right.
Now, so when you're working, buy as much as you – if you know you're going to go into your own business, if you have any desire or plans to do it, buy as much as you can. You know, insurance companies will only give you as much as your income allows. You know, you can't buy as much as you want. They judge it according to the amount of income you have coming in. Now, once my speaking business started to take off, and every time my income rose, I bought more disability insurance.
Right.
I got a ton of disability insurance. God forbid anything ever happens to me, I've got a nice income coming in every single month. Now, once I hit 65, I'm not going to need it anymore. And they're not going to give it to me anymore either. The other thing about health savings accounts, you know, as a small business owner, you're going to get really destroyed by health insurance. The premiums are monstrous. The costs are ridiculous, but you got to have it. You can't afford to get sick, and you can't afford to let hospital and doctor bills put you out of business.
Right,
for years, I had health accounts, health insurance that were killing me. But, you know, when the health savings accounts came out, I realized, and I went to somebody, you know, I always had a good insurance agent. That's another thing. You know, there's a lot of things you should skimp on as a small business owner. Watch your pennies. Watch your overhead. You know, things like long-distance telephones, you know, cell phone plan, you know, all that sort of stuff. You know, overhead, watch it. But the one thing you don't want to skimp on is expert advice.
Right.
You got to have a good lawyer, a good accountant, and a good insurance agent. You know, those people, don't worry about paying them. You know, if you're going to, don't look to skimp on an accountant, a lawyer, or an insurance agent, because you're going to end up with a crummy one. And a crummy one is going to cost you more than what you're paying out. So get good people. I have a great agent, and he advised me on the health savings accounts, found me someone to work with, and now I have a health savings account for my business. You know, it's a low premium, high deductible plan with great tax deductibility in it. It's the greatest tool for a very small business. And I'm a big believer in that. You should also have life insurance. You know, when you're in your own business, you want to protect your family, you need life insurance. But I cannot emphasize enough planning ahead and buying disability while you're still working and making a good income before you start your business. Because then at least you're giving yourself some sort of safety net. Don't allow catastrophic things beyond your control to put you out of business.
Right. Such an important point you bring up, especially something like disability insurance. No one's going to think of that. You know, no one thinks of themselves as getting sick. Everyone's trying to stay positive, starting a new business. But you got to set yourself up across the board starting a business, just not things like this, putting together a business plan and calculating how long you can go, you know, before you make a salary. And
I'll tell you something. You're more likely to get hurt than you are to die.
Sure. Right. Absolutely.
So disability insurance is very important.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what my father-in-law told me. It's just as important, if not more, than having life insurance.
Absolutely, and I have both. I spend a lot of overhead every year on insurance. Life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care insurance.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. And today's podcast is being brought to you by Diamond Financial Services. And if you're looking for a loan to finance your franchise, simply click the Diamond Financial Services logo below. Today's podcast, you're going to get to hear from a legend in entrepreneurship and franchising, and that's Michael Gerber. And we've had Michael on the show two times up to this point, and the first time we had him on the show, Don and I were amazed at the amount of emails we received and listeners, and it was really overwhelming and incredibly fun at the same time. One of the questions that we commonly ask on every show is, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? And naturally, Michael's response was brilliant. So here we go.
Franchising and entrepreneurship?
Yeah, well, I think before that, Mike, I think a lot of people listening might be a little surprised that your mom still tells you what to do.
No, that's the problem. My mom never told me what to do. She inspires me to do things that I never thought about doing.
Absolutely. That's great. That's tremendous. Yeah. What advice would you give to a prospective franchisee looking to buy a franchise, Michael?
Well, first of all, understand what you want. It has less to do with the franchise than it does with you. What is it truly important to you to do? This whole new emergence of the Dreaming Room, for example, really revolves around the idea that struck me that this is the age of the new entrepreneur. And the new entrepreneur is very, very much different than the one who preceded him. The new entrepreneur is more interested in a business that has meaning, not just money. So the whole question for the new entrepreneur or the one who wants to buy a franchise is really, so what's the meaning of this? What's the impact of this on the world? When we begin to look at the world and really realize that the world is in dreadful shape, you wonder then how I, in a business of my own, could have some kind of impact that would add value to the world. So I begin to look at franchises from that perspective. What's the value of the franchise? Presuming that I'm going to be successful, what is the value? What do I deliver that has value to my customer? What pride do I get from what it is I'm doing? What am I adding a benefit to the world as opposed to subtracting from the world, presuming, again, I'm going to be successful? So the first thing is, what does this company mean? What is the true meaning of this, and what's the impact and import of it? For me in my life, you know, I'm going to die one day, and I'm going to probably die inside my business. And what I'd like to ask myself is, will I be proud of the fact that I devoted the rest of my life to doing this?
Right.
Would I want to say this to people I love? Would I want to say this to my kids? What am I going to say to them when I describe what I've chosen to do with the years of my life that I'm going to do it in? Because, in fact, you're going to spend the rest of your life in this business or in something very much like it. The second thing I would ask, once I've decided that, yes, this is a worthy thing to do for me, a human being, how organized is this thing that I'm going to do? How organized is it? Does it have a truly kick-ass breakthrough system for doing what it needs to do, which is attract people to it as customers, which is convert those people into active customers and paying customers, and ability to convert those customers into clients, meaning they come back again and again and again and again. So I want to build or buy that capability, or I'm going to then be need to build it for myself.
Wow. That's a great – we've been asking that question now since we started the show, Michael. We never got such a great response.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, so really, you know, don't jump into anything quickly. Do your due diligence, and that's a good point. I mean, this might be something you've been doing for a long time. Are you going to be proud of telling people this is what you do?
Proud, yeah.
I mean, that's – Marty, you and I have talked about people just – can't jump into something that sounds great. They gotta
they have to go more deeply into their own motivation.
Right.
And that's the thing that's missing almost all the time. Essentially, the prospective franchisee, the guy, the woman who decides they want to buy a business opportunity. Essentially, they go out there, and the one who pitches the deal the best gets the deal. And I'm essentially saying it's got to turn around the other way. The one who's going out becomes more thoughtful about what I'm looking for, as opposed to simply going out and looking for a good business to run.
Right, absolutely.
So that's that right there might be a strong characteristic of a successful.
Those are very deep words from Michael. Is talking about the whole, you know, what is this franchise going to mean? You know, how do I want to be remembered? So, again, it's going very deep into that question. But, again, it's one of the best responses I think we've had up to this point. And, again, it is Michael Gerber. You know, he's sold millions of copies. His latest book is Awakening the Entrepreneur Within. And we had Michael on the show several months ago, and we spoke about the book. And, again, he's going to be in Great Quotes in Franchising on several locations. It was hard to decide which one we were going to use first, but this was it. So, again, you're going to see Michael again in a couple other editions of Great Quotes in Franchising. That day that we did the show, following us, actually became a friend to the show, Ken Six, who hosts a show called Arbor Talk with Peter Felix. And Ken was also a big fan of Michael Gerber. Here was Ken's reaction following the show. And again, we'll leave you with that. And we'd love to hear your feedback on this edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. And we'll see you soon. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Here we go.
Thanks again for everyone for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Take care.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now for the last year and a half, and in that time, we've done about 80 shows. We've interviewed some of the top franchisors, franchisees, franchise experts in the country, and it's just been an incredible experience. Each show, you know, Don and I have learned something, you know, and there's usually typically two or three learning lessons from each radio program. The podcast that you're going to get to hear today, or the great quote in franchising, is from Dan Castellini, and you're also going to get to hear from John Hewitt, who is also the founder of Liberty Tax Service, and, you know, he talks about his most successful franchisees. But listen to what Dan says as far as, you know, taking a self-assessment and typically the people who become the most successful franchisees. I really thought it was a great learning lesson. So here we go.
And they send a picture in. We don't even know about it. Next thing we see, our picture, a Lady Liberty featured in the USA Today or somewhere in the country where we didn't even do anything except do our jobs and put our Lady Liberties out.
That's great. Now, the Lady Liberty, was that your idea, John, or was that yours, Dan?
Dan can't, you know, I asked Dan, and remember, I already said he's one of the best 10 or 20 ever in out of 3,000, so I built him up, and this is not a slam to Dan at all, but I often ask my top people just to make other people understand. They said, Dan, what did you create? What did you invent? When you've been here four seasons, what did you do different? And he said, really, the top people say, you know what, I followed the plan, and I think Dan can confirm that.
That's franchisee, John. That's what Marty and I speak about a lot. A lot of our experts we've had on, trying to recruit people, don't want to reinvent the wheel. Just follow the system and work hard and have that passion. In most franchise, you got to be people, you know, a people person, and you know you're gonna be successful. Is the bottom line.
Absolutely. Dan's coming. What's that? How do you feel about that?
No, absolutely. You know, I think that went back when I was looking, you know, deciding if franchising was right for me, you know, that's the first thing I determined was, you know what, I don't want to invent anything, I'm not creative, just give me a plan that I can execute. Of course, then you go in search of that plan, and that's exactly what Liberty has. And to succeed, you know, you guys hit the nail on the head. It's simply, you know, have that personal drive and then the ability to listen and execute the plan that you signed up to follow.
Right. You know, getting solid training.
I love that quote from Dan Castellini, how he says, you know, he took a real honest self-assessment. He says, you know what, I'm not a creative person. I don't want to invent anything. And, again, I just want to follow the system. And, again, typically, you know, this is what we found to be the most successful franchisee, somebody who is just willing to follow the system. So, again, this is our first great quote in franchising and our first podcast. It's kind of historic, so we'd love to hear your feedback as we get into the whole world of podcasting now. We think this is going to be a great additional service to our listeners because, again, our shows are very detailed. You know, they're typically, you know, as you know, for our listeners, 60 minutes in length. So what Don and I would like to do is kind of highlight some great quotes from each show. So if you don't have 60 minutes to hear the show, you can go and listen to the podcast and listen to some highlights or some great learning lessons in franchising. So we hope you enjoy this one. Again, we'd love to hear your feedback, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another great quote in franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. Today, you're going to get to hear from a legend in franchising. It was about 6 months ago, Don and I were celebrating our one-year anniversary of doing the radio show, and we put a lot of thought as far as who we'd like to have for a guest that particular day. And Don and I both agree that that person should be George Native, and Mr. Native graciously accepted. For those of you who don't know George Native, he's tagged as the guru in franchising. He's also the founder of Boston Chicken. He had a lot of great quotes that show. This is just one of them where George gives his advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise. Here we go.
Mr. Native about the
characteristics that make a successful NOFAC franchisee?
Well, you know, I've always told people to play to their strengths. If you have a personality you know is not a charming one, don't get into the service business where you have to interact with people, because people business requires personality. So, you know, you're not asking someone to do something that's against their grain. So when looking for a franchise, a person should consider the things that they've succeeded in. For instance, if they've been a coach of a soccer team and they had to inspire the kids to run down that field and kick that ball and win, there's something about that individual that is inspiring. So he should look for something that maybe can be along those same lines, that he can use those talents of his. If he's been a teacher, he's been a person that's worked with his hands. In other words, always, always play to your strength. Don't go into something that's opposite of your personality. That'll cause a little bit of a problem. Of course, most companies offer training, but you know, if you put a glove on, it should fit neatly in between the fingers. It shouldn't be something that once you put the glove on, you can't bend your fingers. It's as simple as that. So when you're buying a franchise, it should fit.
And I guess NOFAC specifically, you have a checklist you go down that you want each franchisee to be, or sometimes it's just having a feeling of a certain person.
It's clearly a financial issue. They have to have, in our case, pretty close to the ability to finance something between $500,000 and $600,000. So if an individual can't do that, then maybe he should look for other franchises like a Subway or a Quiznos or other that are around $200,000. So again, here we talk about fitting something that fits their pocketbook and not get into something that's way over their head and put themselves in financial jeopardy by starting in something that is too hard for them to overcome. So again, it should fit their wallet just like it should fit their personality.
Right, absolutely.
And you've, of course, been involved with so many franchisees with all your different businesses that you've done. Have there been times over the years that you sort of took a chance on someone that you weren't really sure, but you really liked them, and it's worked out? I'm sure you have a couple success stories.
There have been those cases. And again, they've been the opposite. And again, you learn by doing the thing. I would much prefer to tell a person that he's not qualified than qualified. And the rationale behind that, of course, is that I don't want to get somebody into something that he's not qualified for. There are so many franchise selections out there that if a person is doing their research, it allows them the opportunity to really, really take the time and investigate. And most of these companies already have franchises in place. They can pick up the phone and call up the franchisee and say, "How you doing? What kind of work did you do before you bought this franchise? Tell me about why you chose it. Would you do it again?" I mean, this is a great opportunity as opposed to starting something on your own where you don't know whether you'll ever get the first base. You know, franchising in the beginning is very much like a baseball game. If you can buy third base as opposed to getting to first base, and getting to first base by starting your own business, maybe you'll get the first base, but there's no guarantee. But if you can buy a franchise, you at least can get the third base. That's good baseball. And you know, when you get the third base, your chances of getting home is a lot easier than being on first.
Wow, that's a great analogy, isn't it, Don?
Yeah, and it sounds like you're a Red Sox fan.
Thank you very much.
I love that quote from Mr. Nadeff where he says that, you know, franchising is like a baseball game and it gives you the ability to start on third base. So, again, this is our second podcast, and again, we'd love to hear your feedback, and we'll see you again soon for another great edition of Franchise Interviews and Great Quotes in Franchising. Take care, everyone. Have a great day. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now for about a year and a half, and in that time, we've gotten to interview some fantastic authors on the topic of franchising. One of my favorite books is The Franchise Times Guide to Selecting, Buying, and Owning a Franchise. It's a must-read in franchising, and that book is by Julie Bennett. And we had Julie on the show, it was about 3 to 4 months ago. She had some fantastic quotes on the topic of franchising. She spoke about the importance of following a system. She gave a great example of that. She even got into the characteristics of successful franchisees. So listen to what Julie said.
And as for the systems, there's a great story from Becky Courtjohn in the book. She's an Express Personnel franchisee in Dayton, Ohio. And she says, follow the system. If the procedures manual said to write all reports with my left hand in red ink on Monday through Wednesday, and with my right hand in black ink on Thursday and Friday, I'd do it. I will follow everything because it works.
That's very powerful. I mean, that really describes franchising in a nutshell, Julie.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely.
That kind of reminded me, Marty, of that. Who was the client we had on? You know,
we had, Julie, we had Liberty Tax. We had one of Liberty Tax's most successful franchisees on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said the same thing. He said he wasn't a creative person. You know, all he wanted to do was just, you know, follow the system.
Right.
And that's why he became one of the most successful franchisees for Liberty Tax. That's all he did. He said, all I did was what they told me to do, and I achieved this great success, you know.
Yeah, he came in with the attitude. His whole attitude was like, just tell me what I have to do, kind of like what you were just bringing up with that particular story, Julie. And that was his whole attitude. Tell me what to do. I'll do it. I'll work hard. And he's, you know, doing quite well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. It's often, if you talk to a franchisor and say, why did that franchisee fail? He'll always say, well, he didn't follow the system.
Mm. Absolutely.
Which may, of course, that may or may not be true.
Right, absolutely. Julie, what types of characteristics do you think make successful franchisees?
Well, you were talking about one of the big ones, which is being hardworking.
Right.
And I think that's very important. You have to be enthusiastic about the business. You have to create an excitement before the business opens.
I agree.
You have to go through your community, tell them you're opening up, and get them in there the first day.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to hire, discipline, and motivate employees. There are personality tests that franchisors give franchisee candidates.
Right.
And when I took all three, I flunked them.
<That's> something.
on this very point, because they said I'd be too empathetic to my franchisee, to my employees.
Right.
And they'd walk all over me.
That's
a very important point. You have to have good communication skills. You have to be talking up your franchise all the time.
Right.
You have to have a sense of humor.
Sure.
And I'll go back to Becky Courtjohn, who said that she had an angry client call her up and say, that young lady you sent over here to work is painting her toenails at our reception desk. And Becky didn't miss a beat. She said, what color?
That's great, isn't it?
Isn't that perfect?
That's
you
fantastic.
You have to roll with the punches.
Absolutely. Right. That's great.
And also, as you said before, you have to be well capitalized.
Sure.
So many franchises have to close in that first year because they don't have the money to keep going.
True.
Yeah, I come across that every day as we're pre-qualifying people for financing, Julie, and a lot of times we're trying to tell people to sometimes not fund the whole business themselves. They'll never be as strong a borrower as they are now. Kind of leverage yourself, get that working capital, which is a nice part of getting a loan. So you have that first 3 to 6 months of expenses paid for, but that happens a lot. People don't want to get a business loan. They finance it themselves, and 6 months later, they're looking around for money. And
Right. Don't drain your house of home equity now.
Right.
I love that quote from Becky Porton that Julie referenced on the importance of following a system. So again, thanks for listening to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. And once again, we'd love to hear your thoughts as we now enter the world of podcasting. So again, thanks, and we'll see you again soon. Take care, everyone.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. For each podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. And today's podcast is being sponsored by Diamond Financial Services. And Diamond Financial is the nation's number one source for business loans with over 50 years of combined experience and established relationships. Financing solutions can be applied to business acquisitions, franchise purchasing or startups, building and leasehold improvements or expansions, equipment purchases, debt restructuring, working capital, franchise fees, or simply the buying out of partners. And if you want more information on Diamond Financial Services, you can click their logo right on our show page of this podcast. Today's great quote in franchising is by Dr. Robert Needham of Franchise Inc. And Dr. Robert Needham is also a franchise author. And we had him on our show, it was about a month ago. And typically on the show we'll ask, what advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? And I thought his answer was brilliant, so here we go.
Another question we'd like to ask someone like yourself, Dr. Needham, is what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise?
Well, you know, first of all, it's interesting. I believe they have to first find out who they are. Meaning, are they prepared to work with employees? If not, then they don't need to be buying a business that's going to have a lot of employees. They need to be in a business that's maybe just them or maybe one or two others. Once they do that, they really need to decide what it is they want this business to do. You know, we have a lot of people call us and say, you know, my wife's a great cook. I want to run a restaurant.
Right.
You know. But there's a big gap between being a great cook and being a restaurateur.
Right.
And so what we do is we try to find out what they really, you know, the old saying, I believe, you know, I don't know who actually gets credit for originally quoting, it's certainly not me, but the old saying that people don't buy drills because they want drills, they buy drills because they want holes.
That's right, yeah.
What we try to do is find out what is it that they really want, and the franchise is just the vehicle to get them to their dream. So often when we're talking with them, we find out that it's freedom or financial independence, which, you know, is really freedom still, and they really want to be able to control their own destiny or some of those kind of things. So then we start looking at the business, and we start explaining the business from that direction, and it's really independent of what the business does, because there is no perfect business, as you know. Every business has something that's not great about it. And every business has something that's super fantastic about it. And we try to help them understand those various things.
That's interesting. We had a couple guests a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Needham, from Fish Window Cleaning. They were two young gentlemen. They worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car for many years, and they were very frustrated. They were working 50, 60 hours a week, I think it was, Don, they were mentioning. And they were surprised at first. They ended up in the window cleaning business. They said in a million years they never imagined buying that kind of franchise. But it's just match what they were looking to do. You know, they just wanted flexible hours where they can get home early and spend weekends with their family and things like that. You know,
right? They did a lot of due diligence, and
right,
a lot of questions and points of what they wanted in a franchise system, and that met most or maybe all of what they were looking for.
Right, and they're very happy now. You know, so but yeah, it was just interesting. They never pictured it in a million years.
One of our top female consultants was a regional.
I love that quote from Dr. Needham. It's a famous quote. It says, people don't buy drills because they need a drill. People buy a drill because they need a hole. And, you know, the same thing applies to franchising. People don't buy a franchise simply to buy a franchise. People buy a franchise as a means to an end, where they want more freedom or they want to spend more time with their family. So, once again, another great quote in franchising. So, again, we hope you enjoyed this podcast. And once again, we'd love to hear your feedback, and we'll see you again soon for another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising by Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. For each podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. Today, you're going to get to hear from Nick Bibby of the Bibby Group. And Nick wrote a fantastic article a while back called Entrepreneurial Types. Listen to what Nick had to say. I thought it was brilliant.
If you don't have the perseverance, you won't persevere.
Right.
Right, absolutely.
And oftentimes, too much money is the enemy.
Sure.
Right, you got to have the motivation. Keep going.
That's key. That's the number one.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was something I wanted to go back to, Nick. You wrote a great article that I read. It was called Entrepreneurial Types, and you identified the different types of entrepreneurs. You started with an intrapreneur and ended with a practical visionary. Do you want to talk a little bit about that or touch upon that? Because I thought it was a great article.
Oh, thank you. If you look at entrepreneurship again on a scale with independence as the key element on the scale, and one entrepreneurial type in my mind is not better than another. It's simply who we are and where we best fit. Well, you know, the safest entrepreneurial setting is intrapreneurship, where you're operating. And I'm sure your listeners understand all this. You're operating within the framework of a company. There's a very limited risk factor. The further you move out on the scale of independence, the more alone you are.
Certainly.
So the next logical step would be what? Franchisee. And I've often used this expression regarding the very finest of franchisees. It's an attitude of help me, but leave me alone.
Sure.
And so, you know, I can define each entrepreneurial type with a given definition, and that's, again, part of the focus program, helping people decide really who they are.
Right.
And this is quite a lengthy process. When I say that the focus program is a no-fluff program, it takes time and effort to understand ourselves. I'm simply providing a framework and tools so that people can move through the process of understanding their entrepreneurial self.
Right.
Interesting. Okay.
And by the way, the answer to you at the very end, when I say practical visionary, mm-hmm. I always put a question mark after that.
Yes, I remember that.
And the reason is, you know, a vision may not be very practical at all. And oftentimes when the visionary pursues a dream, it's not about the marketplace. It's about them proving something.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We have about like 1 minute, Nick.
I thought that was a fantastic article. You can actually read the whole article by going to bibbygroup.com. Again, that's bibbygroup.com. And it's under articles, and again, it's called Entrepreneurial Types. So once again, we hope you enjoyed this edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, and again, we'd love to hear your feedback, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Diamond Financial Services. And Diamond Financial is the nation's number one source for business loans with over 50 years of combined experience. Financing solutions can be applied to business acquisitions, franchise purchasing or startups, building and leasehold improvements or expansions, equipment purchases, debt restructuring, working capital, franchise fees, or buying out of partners. Today's great quote in franchising comes from Carol Mercurio of Matchpoint. And Carol had excellent advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise. And one of the things that they should consider is image. Listen to what Carol said. I thought it was brilliant.
I want to talk a little bit about status.
It's one of my favorites because, you know, a lot of the franchising concepts are not high status.
Right.
You know, if you look at some of these categories, and then there's others, you know, where you'll find there's more of an executive model. And that becomes an issue with people, depending on what their background and experience is, and what are you willing to give up to have a business on your own, and how important is status to you. And the way I break it down is, if you were at a neighbor's for dinner, and somebody asked you what you did for a living, how important is your answer?
That's interesting.
And for some people, it's very important. And when you go through this process with a lot of people, it really comes down to what's more important, what's on your business card or what's on your deposit slip.
Right.
And, you know, I always use the example of, you know, well, actually, I would say the most common answer to things that people wouldn't do that are relative to status is, I wouldn't pick up garbage.
Right.
Which is, it's kind of an interesting answer, because if you look at that industry, of the trash industry or garbage industry, there isn't probably one person out there that doesn't have trash.
Exactly.
Or doesn't know somebody that has trust.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, you have to think about what are you willing to do if the industry is probably one of the biggest and best industries that everybody needs. It's recession-resistant, internet-proof. That would be trash. And, of course, I always throw this little bit of humor into this equation here that my husband's in the trash business and has been for many, many years. And I live in New Jersey with an Italian last name, so I suppose.
There you go, stereotype.
You know, be very careful how you deal with me. But, of course, if they don't get that humor, it's not very funny. But what you really want to think about is, you know, how do you feel about negotiating deals with CEOs or presidents of companies? Or are you okay with dealing with, you know, the everyday consumer or dealing directly to the consumer? Or should it be business to business? Because there are different franchises that fit into those categories, or even if you look at retail, so that it may not be visible to the consumer, but there are retail businesses that will do business to business, deal with other business owners, as well as the consumer, which is a major plus because you have two ends of dealing with business rather than being limited to one. But you really have to determine, you know, what is it? If you want a high-status business, then that will put me in a direction that would be very different than a Dunkin' Donuts, for example.
Right.
Although some people would put some of these food concepts into high status. I'm not sure why, but I do believe that people's perception of food is a higher status.
That's interesting.
But there are certainly a lot of things you can do that go outside food that, you know, you can be a consultant in different areas that would be more executive-type models, or with a lot of the franchises, if you're looking for an executive-type model, it may be in a traditional type of business, but you become the manager of that business as opposed to getting your hands dirty every day.
That's
so you can still develop that into more of an executive model.
Right, right.
And, you know, what kind of products or services do you want to offer your public? Because that may limit some of the things that you look at if you shy away from certain industries.
Interesting.
But it is something that you really want to think about, you know, how important is status? And, you know, I always use the household cleaning industry as an example of that as well. You know, it's a very big business today. You know, it's a business that's changed through the years because of dual-income families, that it almost becomes a necessity rather than a luxury. But a lot of people will be embarrassed to say that I clean toilets for a living.
Right, right.
And the perfect example in that industry, when you look at the business model, it's not about cleaning toilets at all, because that's not what you do.
Right.
It's about sales, marketing, and management.
Exactly.
So again, you're looking at what is the business model itself. So put the industry aside, look at the model, and how is that going to work in your community?
Such a good question, though, Carol.
It really is.
Sometimes it's everything they're thinking about with investing in a business is when you tell people at a party, what do you do? I mean, that's a great question. People don't want
it
to
be embarrassed
by saying what they do. It is a great question.
If you really think about it,
yeah.
You know, I would say, you know, the common denominator with people when you have a discussion is, what do you do for a living? And when I tell people I'm self-employed, it doesn't matter what I do. I think they're impressed with the fact that I own my own business. So I think business ownership in itself brings a certain level of prestige, because there's so many people out there that I think would want to own a business, but they don't have the courage to do it. So they admire somebody that does.
There's a pretty popular, fast-growing franchise that involves, it's pet waste removal.
Right.
I looked at myself when I saw that. I'm like, do I want to tell people that I, you know, that I do that for a living? And, you know, I thought about that when I saw that type of franchise that, you know, a lot of people are pet owners, and that's the type of service that's needed.
Right.
I guess it takes a special type of person to.
and they're making a lot of money doing it.
Exactly. Right.
You can put the status issue aside.
Right.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, to kind of summarize what we've spoken about, you know, all these different characteristics are things that you really need to write down and think about and put on a piece of paper. And if you put it all down...